You are now listening to the Sports Life Talk podcast, hosted by Kevin Tumnus and Serge Vasudevic, where life without sports is just talk, on blogtalkradio.com.
Welcome to episode 11 of Sports Life Talk, where life without sports is just talk. I'm KT with my man Serge. Serge, how's it going, man?
It's pretty good, man. Just got the allergy syndrome kicking in, but, you know, man, can't believe we're already into episode 11.
I know. It goes by faster. You're having fun, man.
Absolutely, man. Having a great time.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. What's the weirdest question that you ever gotten at a job interview?
A job interview, weirdest question, why, on top of, I guess, asking why should we hire you, they kind of threw in a wrench, like, what would you do in the event that somebody came and just hit you in the face? Like, how would you handle it? You know, because they want to test and see, are you going to retaliate? Or are you going to just, hey, back up? I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to get into nothing. And you're going to go down the protocol, go to HR. Because there are obviously people who have clearly done some egregious things on the job and things like that. And some people are just doing it to, especially if they feel like they have seniority over you. They're probably just trying to test and see your patience, you know. So that's probably the weirdest.
So how did you answer that?
I said that, well, first and foremost, I don't believe anybody would do that. And if somebody did, and they would lose all my respect. And at the end of the day, I'm going to keep things professional in a professional environment. And, you know, I would handle it the way that I feel at best fit, which is going, you know, and take it into HR and following the proper protocol or whatever it says in the employee handbook what to do.
But you really want to say, I'm going to punch him back.
Right? Yeah, of course. Okay.
There we go. Let's keep real.
Or keep him in the nuts. You know,
all right, so like, you're a prospect at the combine. I'm going to be the interviewer.
Okay.
We need you to be the next running back for the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh.
So the first question I'm going to ask you, Serge, hey, how you doing? How's your day going?
Good.
All right, we're going to get right into this interview process. Okay. The first question I want to ask you, do you like men?
In what way?
You know, do you like men? Would you prefer a man over a woman?
No, I definitely wouldn't. I'm definitely straight as I can be. I love women. They're the most attractive things probably on planet Earth. Why does that even matter? If I'm just trying to be a running back for, you know, your team.
No, we're just trying to get your thought process and what do you prefer? That's all we wanted.
I don't think that should really. So you guys are going to pretty much discriminate possibly based off of my, you know, sexual preference.
And I think that's what they were going with that, Serge. And we all know how the NFL combine and the ridiculous interview questions. And for LSU's Darius Geis, he was asked that question. Did he like men? And I think they were trying to avoid the whole Michael Sam. But we should be past that now. That shouldn't even be a thing. It should be about your play on the field. Because we all know that Michael Sam, he deserved to be like a first, second round pick.
Absolutely.
And if he would have waited until he got drafted by a team to come out, I think that would have been smarter, but not necessarily necessary for him, you know? So,
hey. I mean, we're in 2018 with all the things that are going on. You know, we got all these states that are doing the restroom laws, and we got, you know, obviously, like we kind of discussed about last week, we're definitely not opposed to, you know, if you're straight, if you're gay, if you're transgender, if you're bisexual, whatever it is, like, you know, it's a free, not, yes, it's a free country, but you as a right have a human to, being human, you have the right to pretty much do as you please and whatever in your heart that you desire. You know, we respect your decision and the life and path you choose, as long as you do within the confines of the rules and the system. But like you said, yeah, we're at a point, you know, where we're so past with all the social media, with all the studies and things that are educating people on, like, why certain people make certain decisions or whatever. Because at the end of the day, like, if you saw somebody playing in college on, you know, television, or and you scouted them, you know, they came with the combine and whatever, you're looking at their, you know, 40-yard dash, you're looking at their vertical, you're looking at their bench press, you're looking at their agility, you're looking at their speed, depending on what position that they're trying to play. And then I don't see why, you know, it should matter what they have a preference as far as, you know, sexual orientation, you know, what kind of sexual preference that they have. You know, it shouldn't matter. I mean, then you could go down the list and start thinking about, like, you know, what if, like, I was growing up and I hated a particular team. Like, I hated them so much because they were a rival to my team. But I grew up to be a Division I college player and I was getting recruited and that team wanted to draft me. I can't just be like, man, I hate your franchise. I don't want to play for you guys. No, like, it's, you know what I mean? It goes both ways. So it doesn't just make sense for you to ask something that's that much more personable. Because there's one way to find out about personality traits, but I think there's got to be a line that's drawn too when it comes to that stuff like that. I guess so much for being an EOE.
And professional.
Yeah.
So last week in our Tackling Life segment, we talked about landing spots for Jarvis Landry. So this week, we actually know where he's going to be now,
right,
along with Tyrod Taylor. They're both heading to the Cleveland Browns. So with all the moves they've made, Serge, do you see the Cleveland Browns making noise next year or next season?
I think a little bit. I think you'll obviously see an improvement. I don't think they'll go winless, like, for so many weeks, you know, or all season. I think, you know, I could definitely see it's all kind of based around how the fit is, you know. I'd still want to see what happens in the draft. Like, do they, even though they got Tyrod Taylor, do they still go after a quarterback just to be on the safe side? Whether it's at the number one or the four, you know, kind of based off the moves that they made, I would like to think that they might, unfortunately for my team, they probably will lean towards picking Barkley at number one, but then still come back at four, and pick a quarterback. Or if they're smart, they should probably, you know, trade that fourth pick or maybe another player, or to get multiple other picks later in the draft. They have top, they have four picks in the top 35, you know, so they could use that to their advantage. And, you know, I could see them winning a few games and you get a full offseason with Josh Gordon and Tyrod Taylor. Like, you're bringing the players now as opposed to bringing them closer to, like, when training camp already starts, so that these guys can go to, you know, mini camp and OTAs and try to get that groove and try to start meshing now, because they always, even though they lost all those games last year, they still always seemed like they were competing. Like,
yeah,
they like, their defense wasn't, you know, too bad or anything like that, because they got what's his name from the Patriots from a couple of years ago. The
defensive line. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then was it Collins? I think it was Collins.
Collins,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, picked up Jabril Peppers in the draft last year. You know, so they got, you know, they got a little building block. You know, and then they had obviously the number one pick, the defensive end, you know, last year too. He didn't play a lot, but even in the flashes that he showed last year. So, you know, I mean, at some point the franchise got to turn around, right?
I got them going 8-8. I think they're going to
really?
Be an 8-18. I think, okay, Tyrod Taylor, his addition.
Yeah.
Because the Buffalo Bills, they're idiots. They didn't know what they had. So I got them going 8-8. I may be wrong, but I got a feeling especially if they draft Saquon Barkley at number one, I got a feeling they're going to make some noise. And they may have a better record than the Colts, but don't beat me up. Okay.
All right. That's fine. I mean, shoot, even if they win 5 or 6 games, I mean, that's a great situation to be in as a, yeah, I mean, even as a fan. I mean, like, you can't expect, you know, overnight just to be like go from 0-16 to, you know, 8-8. I think that would be tremendous, like, turnaround.
Yeah. So speaking of turning around, let's talk about the 49ers and what they've done. yesterday they signed Richard Sherman to a 3-year deal. Well, he's getting his money and he's going back home. And you topple that along with Jimmy G. So you have an offensive leader and now a defensive leader. What do we see that's going to happen in the 49ers?
I think the Seahawks are going to take a – they were already taking steps back the last 2 years. They're taking a couple of more steps back next year. I think the 49ers and the Rams are going to be in charge of that division. We're going to be obviously touching base about the move that the Rams made too. But, man, 49ers, I mean, hey, they got the longest current winning streak in the NFL.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G, he's got paid. He got job security. He don't have nobody behind him over his shoulder like that he has to worry about. Picking up Richard Sherman. And then now what you're going to notice is, like, other players are going to want to go play there. Because at the end of the day, it's still California. Beautiful weather, lifestyle, all that. The tradition that the 49ers organization has, the fan base has always been, great and supportive. So Richard Sherman obviously picking a team to go play with that's also the same division. So he's going to get to play the Seahawks twice a year. I think it's great. I think it's great for the NFL. It's obviously great for the 49ers. And, they're on the path to making real noise, definitely, if not next year, definitely the year after that, and potentially even try to make a Super Bowl run. Like, I could very, very much see that happening.
All right. And speaking of the Seahawks, they also traded Michael Bennett to the Philadelphia Eagles. The defensive line they had was already scary. Now you're adding him. You know he's going to be upset because he was let go. But let me ask you about the Seahawks. Do you think it was smart for them to let go of Sherman and Bennett? And do you think it was more of their personality? They were too outspoken. And the fact that their production wasn't where it was, and then you talk that much, do you think they were trying to clean up their image?
Maybe a little bit. I think unless you're really in the community, you don't really know what exactly the feel or the temperature of the team is and how the fans feel about the team. Was it causing some ruckus, up in the, Pacific Northwest where some of the fans were, like, not buying tickets because of the way that these guys are, especially Michael Bennett, with some of the remarks that he might have made or whatever. I think Richard Sherman, he had an Achilles injury. I mean, those injuries aren't easy to come back from, so they probably see, like, if we sign him, we can't sign him for 1 year. We're going to have to sign him for multiple years. And do we want to commit, would we rather just try to go see if we can go find another Richard Sherman for the next 5 years as opposed to getting, a 75% of what we used to have with Richard Sherman for the next 2 to 3 years, So, and Michael Bennett, same thing applies. Like, he's not old or anything like that, but I think it's like, Sometimes, like, things just run its course, and now it's like, rather than just like beating around the bush, let's just kind of maybe wipe the, slate clean a little bit and regroup. And because they still have the ridiculous fan base and tradition, the weather and everything, and Russell Wilson's still going to be around for a long time. So,
and the reason I asked you that is when they were, talking and they were kind of brass, everybody loved it because they were winning. It takes me back to Muhammad Ali. People started loving Muhammad Ali when he couldn't speak anymore. When he was outspoken, they couldn't stand him. So that's why I asked you that. Were they trying to clean up their image? Speaking of cleaning up in an image and making your defense even scarier than what it already was or becoming, Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters are both headed to the Rams.
God, man, that defense is going to be ridiculous.
And what upsets me about everything, and this is probably any NFL fan, why isn't my team trying to do this?
No, absolutely. I agree. I mean, I'm sitting there kicking my feet back, thinking, like, why aren't the Colts doing everything? But obviously, with the city that I'm living in, with the friends that I have, and including yourself, I'm just like, man, Michael Bennett didn't go to the Cowboys.
Especially because our defensive line, if we can beat that up, that'll help out our young secondary, who didn't do bad last year. They weren't the problem.
Right.
We couldn't get to the quarterback with Bruce Irvin being out. Now, if we bring him back with DeMarcus Lawrence, could you imagine the addition of Michael Bennett to that defensive line?
Oh, yeah. It's all about putting a little bit of fear in the opposing defense, right? It's like, it's not always about getting to the quarterback. It's just about you just getting that offensive lineman who's trying to block you to think a little differently, because they know the intimidation factor kicks in too a little bit, right? Because now Michael Bennett's got the cat clout and the cachet to be able to be like, hey, like, I need to block him. Maybe they need to slide over a little bit more help, which gives somebody else on the defensive line or a linebacker to be able to come in and swoop in and, you know, get. But kind of going back to, like, why aren't our teams doing it? I mean, obviously, the Cowboys are in the news way more than the Colts are, but it's kind of weird to know that, like, all these guys and moving, you know, moving around, Cowboys not getting Michael Bennett, not getting Richard Sherman, not getting Jarvis Landry, like we potentially had discussed, you know, for last week that they
not trying to get Tlaib, who's from the area,
right?
Why wouldn't you try to go after that to beef up your defense? Because we have the offensive personnel to strike now. It's just, it's the defense already the question. And then when our defense plays good, our offense doesn't show up.
Right.
We need to put it together. And you know why we can't put it together? Because of that redhead dude that we got on the sideline.
The puppet.
All right. Well, let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. One of the best receivers in the league. He just makes bonehead decisions. And maybe it's his circle, but there's a video circling around about him. He's supposedly smoking weed, and he's with a young lady who, I guess, she's going to do a line. Serge, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, that we better have the best medicine to help recover from injury that's ever been invented or grown on this planet Earth, because come on, man, you should know better. And then on top of that, like, how do you not notice that this person is recording you? Like, because you know, some of these guys, they get with females that they know, and they kind of keep that same one around every time they go into a particular town, or they get new ones. And it's like, you cannot, under no circumstances, I honestly would be like, hey, if we're going into a hotel room, like, hey, my phone, your phone, is going straight to the lock. You know, and that's it, because you can't take that chance. You can't take that risk with anybody in the day and age we live in. I mean, shoot, I could look somebody the wrong way and I can get sued.
Yeah.
I mean, so that could happen just walking down the street. You don't have to be at work. And we're talking about, you're a professional athlete. He's not somebody who's already went through the trials and tribulations of going through the, you know, rigorous NFL career, made all of his money. I mean, he's still like a young guy who's really still trying to make a quality name for himself and put him in the upper echelon of, you know, trying to be one of the top receivers of all time and play another seven, 8 years and, you know, at the peak of his career. Man, that's just not – I hope it's a lot older than, you know, potentially what's being recorded, but, man, it is definitely not a good look.
And the thing is, it doesn't matter how old that video is. You know who's excited about the video a little bit? The Giants. Because he just cost himself some millions with that video. And I wouldn't be surprised if they said, hey, they had somebody leak it just to, you know, put the stain on his image a little bit. Now we can lowball him.
Right.
So he just has to be smarter. And like you said, you can't trust it. You can't trust anybody nowadays, because that video, I sell to TMZ. Hey,
right.
I got a nice little profit. So next, we're going to go down the lane. We're going to talk about Mark Cuban, a rose being a rose. How far can you go and somebody get another chance? That's next on Sports Life Talk. All right. Last week on Down the Lane, we talked about Mark Cuban and everything that's going on in the Mavericks organization. But now there's something else, and it's actually against him this time. He's being investigated for an alleged sexual assault in 2011, and this happened at a bar in Portland, Oregon, where supposedly he put his hand down a young lady's pants or whatever and, you know, try to, you know, work his magic with his fingers.
Yeah.
So, Serge, with everything that's going on with Mark Cuban, like I asked you last week, what do you think the league should do with the Dallas Mavericks?
Oh, man. He's making it tough on me, man.
Well, you already know how I feel about it.
I know.
I think it's time for him to sell.
I mean, unfortunately, I'm having to start slowly but surely start leaning in that direction. I mean, because these kind of things, just like you said, once one Pandora's box opens up, I mean, it's just like the floodgates open up, like, and everything else starts coming in. And, you know, the first thing that I noticed about this, this was reported the other day, the first thing that I noticed was the year when it happened, 2011. The year when we won the
championship.
And I'm like, you know, obviously this clearly had to probably happen before we won, or unless it happened during the season.
Well, we played them first round of the playoffs.
We did. So that's the first thing that came to mind. Or did it happen later in 2011 when the next season started and it was like when they went on their road trip or whatever? Or he could have just been traveling to Portland for business. You know, you never know, yeah. Right? So, but at the end of the day, when you're an owner, just like you're a player, as long as you're under contract, I mean, it's a 365-day thing. You know, it doesn't matter if it's an off season or whatever it happened. But just the fact that something like this is potentially even being reported, and it's not a good look. And, you know, last week I made suggestions about taking away, unfortunately, a draft pick. And, you know, when it's kind of your own team, it's like you got to be objective, obviously. And, you know, Mark Cuban's definitely not doing anything for himself to be able to talk about tanking and then letting all those things slide with the sexual assaults and stuff. And then now he has potentially his own sexual assault thing, you know, after him. It's just not a good look, and, you know, I'm sure they're going to do their investigation, but if it comes out to be true, then I would definitely 100% agree with you, and they're going to probably have to go ahead and take it away. Just don't give it to Jerry Jones, and you come somewhere.
Oh, my God, please don't give it to him.
Yeah.
But here's my thing, too. Why now? Why is this coming out now? We can get a top three pick. We're going to get a really good player that can go with Dennis Smith Jr. And then Dirk can play his last year and he can say his goodbye. It's just bad timing.
It's somebody's plotting some seed for sure, man. It's kind of like a calm before the storm. And it's like, it's almost like our franchise probably has like a window in the next couple of years where once we start being good again, we'll be good again for a while. But it's just like unfortunate thing that when we are dealing with the down struggles, we got to deal with a lot more on our plate. So it's just like we got to get through this. Hopefully just a 1 year deal, maybe two, but it's kind of like one of those like long term. I feel like the franchise is going to be in good hands and we're going to have a good team that's going to be perennial. You know, making the playoffs every year like we used to, but this like, you know, it's like when something opens up, it's like all these other things start happening. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, some other employee that used to work for the Mavericks, you should be like, oh, Mark Cuban, you should treat us like crap.
Yeah.
Oh, when he comes into meetings, he's always cussing. You never know what's going to happen. And, you know, if there's potentially money to be made or somebody put their name out on the news, you know, they're all about it.
I guess the only question we have is when the Mavericks do, when we are good again, will Mark Cuban be around? Speaking of being around, let's talk about Derrick Rose. Now he signed with the Timberwolves. Do you think that was a smart move by the Timberwolves to sign Derrick Rose?
Given the circumstances, given what they need, I think definitely he's not a bad pickup because they actually already have – he's obviously not going to be starting over Jeff Teague. And they already had Tyus Jones, who's, you know, a decent backup.
But that's my question. You're going to stunt his growth to bring Derrick Rose in, so you're going to take those minutes away.
Right. Obviously, the main reason for him being there is obviously Coach Tom Thibodeau. And then whenever Jimmy Butler does come back, there's a rapport there with, you know, those two guys. And Taj Gibson was already there too. So I want to say it's more for that, when it, especially trying to make that last push to make sure to make the playoffs, making sure you have that experience on the court, you know, giving the other team something to think about, because even though he's 29, even though he's not the same Derrick Rose, it's still a different type of change of pace that he gives you. you know, we'll see what happens. I didn't really see him going to any other team. Like, this would have been the only, like, I don't even know if any other potential playoff team would have even picked him up.
No, I don't think anybody else wanted to touch him.
Because he actually was considering going to the Timberwolves, I think, during the offseason. And they, I think they were willing to give him a little more money, but I think he just saw the better opportunity in Cleveland at that time, coming out the bench behind Kyrie. And then obviously the trade happened. But, you know, hopefully, just for his sake, I do hope things work out for him, you know, but it's not looking too good.
I just hope that this energizes him, because when Derrick Rose is on, he's a top 20 player. Well, yeah. Probably not now, but when he was on, he was on. He was unstoppable.
Right. You know, giving about, you know, 8 points, 3-4 assists a game in the 12 to 15 minutes you come in. I mean, like, you can expend all that energy that's bottled up in those 12 to 15 minutes that you're playing in the game, because he doesn't have to exert himself like he used to and play 35, 38 minutes a game, which, you know, Thibodeau runs down all the players. Yeah, he that. You know what I mean? So,
and just think, he was one of the best ISO players that was in the league until LeBron shut him down. And that leads me to my next question. You remember how we talked about last week about the best ISO players of all time? And we
Jordan,
Harden, yeah. But I got to thinking, I was talking to one of my guys at work, and he said, man, you got to put Kyrie in there. And that made me think. Now, who would you take? Would you take Kyrie or James Harden in a one-on-one situation, and their defender would be either Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James? So who would you take?
One-on-one, like pickup, one-on-one, just randomly on the court, I would definitely say I would have to go with Kyrie. In a game, there's four other people on the team, and I'm going one-on-one with somebody, and I have the potential option to also make a play as opposed to just only shooting, is probably would be the only way I would probably pick James Harden. But overall, yeah, I would probably have to go with Kyrie. And as being my favorite player, I'm kind of shocked at myself that I didn't pick, you know, even included in the conversation last week about this topic. But yeah, man, I mean, you know, he can shoot the three. He's got a step back. He's got counter moves after counter moves after counter moves. He's got the best handles in NBA history, in my opinion. He can finish
hands
at the
down,
rim.
He's the best.
Probably finish at the rim better than anybody in NBA history. Left hand, right hand, floaters, in the English off the glass, going up and under. I mean, he's got it all, you know. So, James Harden, obviously, he's got his own too. But I think if I was to give a whole package of array of moves, because I feel like James Harden really only has about 3 or 4 different moves. You know, he's got the step back, go left,
the hesitation,
go right, hezzy, and then drive past you, stop on a dime, pull up. But Kyrie's, I mean, he can do all that and then remix it, basically, you know, and he gives remix versions of all of those. So, you know, shout out to your friend, man. I mean, that's a very valid point, and can't be taken. And I hope people, when they're watching James Harden, Kyrie, because I know everybody is always like, you know, about the Cavs and the Warriors and KD, LeBron, but like people like, you know, Harden, Kyrie, I mean, even Westbrook, you know, watching him play last night, it's just like, man, don't take this generation and these guys for granted, because I'm telling you, like, as they get older, you're gonna be like, damn, I wish I would have watched more of their games, because they look like, man, like, I don't want to even go into the next topic yet. I gotta put this out there. Like, a stat was put up yesterday during the Thunder and Spurs game. Russell Westbrook has 98 triple doubles already in his career.
98.
He's 9 behind Jason Kidd, who had 107, and he played like 18 years. He's 40 behind Magic Johnson, and Magic Johnson is regarded as the best point guard of all time. I mean, he's got 18 this season. If
he's going to beat that next year. Next season, he'll have that. He'll probably get Jason Kidd this season.
Yeah, he, because playoffs count too.
Yeah, but you say he's 40 behind Magic?
He has 98. Magic had 138.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he'll get that next season.
Yeah, I think he can get that next season. And the thing is, if he plays the way he did yesterday and puts up numbers like that for the rest of the season, he'll actually average another year of triple-double. Like, I'm just like, that's not supposed to happen. Like, nobody 2 years ago would have thought that anybody in the NBA, like, somebody would have said, I could see somebody scoring 40 a night before I could see somebody averaging a triple-double. And averaging a triple-double, a point guard doing it is another, like, astonishing, you know, I was like, what? How does he already? I was like, it feels like he's only been in the league, like, I mean, he's been in the league, you know, 7-8 years. But
yeah, but it doesn't seem like it at all.
I'm just like, 98? Like, good Lord, he has 18 this season, and there's still another 18 more games to go, so he can get another 4 or 5.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, he has to start being in a discussion for the best, one of the best point guards ever.
Yeah,
because,
for sure.
Because this is ridiculous. He's one of my favorite players now.
Tyler or not.
With the way that he plays, he doesn't care about his body. He doesn't care about you. The only thing he cares about is the ball. And the way he said, my friend is Spalding.
Spalding, yeah.
Yeah, hey.
I hated to astray from the conversation we're having, man. That, hey. I had to bring that up because that's – I was just like – and I'm a basketball, like, junkie. And for me to be, like, taken back, be like, dang, that's a stat that I just didn't see. I mean, obviously, by the fact that he's already in the top four, it means he's already got more than LeBron.
Yes.
You know, and LeBron is the player that you would have thought, like, if anybody could do it, it would have been him. Because the way he passes the ball, he's big enough to rebound the ball. He obviously can score 10 points a game because that's all it takes. But this dude is doing it on scoring 25 a game, you know, almost 11 assists a game, and right on the cusp of getting 10 rebounds a game. And that's what Steven Adams on the team, and Paul George on the team, and Melo on the team. And it's, I mean, he's got to be, how could you, if he does average a triple-double for the season, how could you not put him in the MVP conversation? Because right now, he's not even being mentioned.
No, now they're talking about Anthony Davis being in there. But
James Harden, Anthony Davis, Giannis, LeBron.
It has to be Westbrook. He's top three.
Oh, for sure.
He has to be top three.
He has to be. And I don't care. They're going to make the playoffs, but I don't care what seed they make. Like, when you average that for an entire season again, I mean, and now you're doing it with two other co-stars on your team. I can understand last year's like, oh, man, like, he had to do everything by himself.
Yeah.
So he's putting off, exerting all kinds of energy. And that he was getting all his assists because he's always getting double teamed, he's kicking it out or dishing it down to Steven Adams. But now, no, he's doing the same thing without getting those, you know, it's crazy. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I'm glad you brought that up, man, because it's more interesting probably than this next topic. I was talking about the Toronto Raptors and how far they're going to go because they're the number one seed right now. They've mm-hmm. already clinched, but how far do we think they're going to go, actually?
I'm still going to go out and say that they're probably going to only go to the Eastern Conference Finals, but I honestly wouldn't put it past them that they potentially could make the finals. And I'm sure a lot – the NBA probably doesn't want that.
No.
A lot of fans probably – regular basketball fans probably don't want to see the Raptors play the Warriors or the Rockets, but – I mean,
well, even though they did just beat the Rockets, they ended their streak, though. I give them credit for that. Toronto ended their streak.
I mean, they were up 20 for most of the game, and then they let, you know, the Rockets come back. But it's like, it's kind of like we've been this down this road before with the Raptors. They always play really well in the regular season, and obviously this year they're playing better than they have in the years past. DeMar DeRozan is another guy. Should be in the MVP conversation.
Yes, he should. You know? Yeah.
And he's shooting threes this year as opposed to he's never done that in his career. Kyle Lowry's playing. They're playing. So one of the reasons why they're probably playing better this year is during the playoffs last year, I think especially the finals, Coach Dwayne Casey took DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry to watch the finals games live in person to see how the Warriors play and to show them that, yeah, look, they got star players on their team too, but it's ball movement. Don't catch and hold the ball and let the defense set up. Kick it, move it. And now they've gotten enough, you know, parts on their team You know, they got a CJ Miles, they got a Fred VanVleet, they got Serge Ibaka, they got Valanciunas. You know, they got Norman Powell. They got enough guys around the two star players on their team to be able to help facilitate and do better, because they're constantly doing, you know, motion, a lot of pick and rolls, but it's like constant moving. They're not holding on to the ball. Like DeRozan used to be, you know, number two or number three the last 6-7 years as far as ISO players. Now he's like in the middle of the pack, because they're not running plays strictly for him where he just posted up, he's at the elbow and he's making his moves and holding on to the ball and things like that. So I think the sky is the limit for them. You know, they could do a lot, but the problem is when it comes to the playoffs, Kyle Lowry always shrinks.
That's what I was going to say.
And people double team DeRozan and make other people beat him. And so until you can prove me otherwise, I'm going to unfortunately have to go with what the history has taught me and what history has shown us in the last 3 or 4 playoff runs that they've had, because they do great in the regular season. They win 58, 60, 62 games, but, you know, they got swept by the Cavs a couple of years ago, and then they, you know, won 2 games, and we made it go to 6 games against the Cavs.
Well, if I'm Dwayne Casey, I wouldn't have took Kyle Lowry to the finals. I'll just show him all the playoff film that we had on him, yeah. And maybe that would have been motivation. Here's a guy that doesn't really need any motivation. He just wants another chance, and that's Chris Bosh. He wants to play again in the NBA. Do you think that is a smart idea?
I don't think so. I think he was kind of like a Derrick Rose in the sense of where he was maybe, you know, in his late 20s. I would probably say yes, but the fact that he's already going into his mid-30s, I just don't know. Like, you know, it all obviously will depend on what kind of shape he's in. And at the end of the day, even if he's in terrific, terrific shape, not probably in basketball shape, are you able to really run up and down the court for 15 to 20 minutes and actually be able to have your feet set and play defense? And, you know, because I know he probably is thinking like, man, I could be the perfect stretch forward in the league these days as opposed to back in the days. But I think with his health condition obviously being a number one priority.
Yeah, those blood clots in his lungs.
Yeah, and those things are dangerous because, I mean, no matter how many doctors you see, there are things that happen within inside your body that not one person can figure out. You know, that's just how the chemistry of and science in your body works. So because he's probably, what, 34?
Yeah, he's around that age. You're around the same age as Carmelo, everybody.
Right, because he actually did go to 1 year in college.
Georgia Tech.
So,
was it Georgia Tech or Wake Forest?
No, Georgia Tech.
It was Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
right.
So just playing 1 year, I would, you know, he's probably 1 year older than LeBron because they all came in that, you know, draft. So, I would advise against it. Kind of like we talked about off air, yeah, he should just pick to probably be an analyst, and he's on TNT, and he's got a decent good job.
But if he were to go to a team, you know, I would like to see him back in Toronto.
Yeah,
he can finish his career there. Or if he's trying to win something, hey, Boston, y'all need a stretch for?
Right.
So
and they need offense.
Yes. Hey, whatever he decides, I just want to be happy and healthy. And like we said, go be an analyst. That'll probably be safer.
Right.
All right. Next on Sports Life Talk, we're going to tell you what's on our mind. Hey, Serge, I don't know what the hell's in the water in Florida, but it's always something crazy happening in Florida. This time it's from a teacher who has been suspended from his district because he repeatedly used the N-word in class and told his 7th grade and 8th graders not to date African-Americans because they are not worth it, among other violations. What would your best advice be for that district and maybe for this teacher who seems to just be an idiot?
I mean, suspension is what I would have said, but because this is the second time, I'm like, how did you not even get suspended the first time? I mean, that's going back to, again, like in the day and age we live in, you know, the NFL combine guy getting asked that question about, you know, do you like men? I mean, it's the same thing. Like, how could you let somebody, you know, get away with, you know, asking or, you know, behaving like this and being able to talk to, you know, kids, basically, you know, 7th and 8th graders. I mean, like an age where, you know, they're teenagers about to be, you know, going on the verge of trying to be young men, you know, to have, you know, put those kind of thoughts into their minds. And that way now when they're meeting people, especially of African-American descent, like to completely astray from them, like not only now you're not going to probably even date them, you're probably not going to want to even be friends with them.
Yes.
You know, and it's just like it just sets the wrong standard, you know, in the culture that we live in. Unfortunately, I don't know if this teacher, you know, doesn't get the memo, but, you know, if you look around the United States, and there's a really big, good reason why there's a lot more mixed kids nowadays than there is and has ever been. And that's going to continue to grow. You know, that's one of the things that that, you know, I will have something to look forward to as far as having a, you know, mixed child. And, you know, when these kind of situations happen, you always want to figure out a way. Yeah, we do a podcast and things like that, but before we make an objective opinion and, you know, talk about it on the airwaves, is put ourselves in that position. Like, what we do, or if that was our kid, how would we want them to look at things? Like, I would never tell my, you know, child or children not to date a specific kind of, you know, ethnic group. You know, I wouldn't tell them not to be friends with a certain type of, you know, it's all about figuring out the good versus the bad. That had nothing to do with man, woman. That had nothing to do with black, white, Hispanic, Indian, whatever it is. It's more about the actual people, the character, the personality, the positive influences. You know, those are the things that I will always, you know, keep in as a core value. But if you're trying to teach 7th to 8th graders, there's going to be some of these kids who take it seriously and they'll make it part of their core value. Unfortunately, not growing up, and then they get into altercations and, you know, different scenarios that could play out going into the future, because the teacher just has to sit back and be like, well, this ain't going to affect me. Like, I say what I feel like saying, and if nobody's going to punish me for it, I'm going to keep saying it.
Yeah, and two of the things that he said, though, he said, if your boyfriend says bad things to you and treats you wrong, that means he's acting like the N-word. He also said, you all should not be dating all these different African-American boys because they are not worth it. Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe he was done wrong by an African-American woman.
Clearly.
And now he's just trying to lash out at everybody so everybody can be miserable like him. Go to CNN. His last name is Swinyar. And look him up and you'll see. It's probably hard for him to get a date anyway.
Yeah.
So let's move on to our next topic. Serge, have you heard of the Order of Yanni?
No, please tell me about it.
All right, this is going to be the first brewing company that produces beer from vaginas.
What?
Yes, you heard that correctly. This beer is partially made from the essence of a woman's vagina, or better known as vaginal lactic acid bacteria. This is something in Europe.
Of course. Serge, of course it's in Europe. Of
Serge, course. If I were to hand you a beer and I said, hey, it's the flavor of a vagina, are you going to drink some?
Probably not. Probably not, because not knowing which vagina that's coming from would probably give me a cause to pause. And yeah, I probably would not go down that road. But I mean, who comes up with these things, man? I mean, like, where's the first idea? Like, I'm sitting there, man, I want to make a beer that has a vagina's essence in it.
Well, Serge, I'm down to try everything once, and I do like vagina, so hey, vagina, beer, that's a match made in heaven, so I'm going to go with that.
What's the alcohol percentage volume there? That's going to be the key, I guess.
It is key. And hey, like I said, I'm down to try it. Y'all want to send us some from Europe? I'll sample it.
Is it guaranteed to get more vaginas if you drink it?
No, I don't need any more. I have already. Serge, let's move on. All right, let's talk about Jerry Jones paying the NFL $2 million. And do you want to elaborate on that, Serge, why he's paying that?
Well, he's paying them the money because for the Ezekiel Elliott case, spending all that extracurricular time that the NFL had to, you know, spend time on, and Jerry Jones also being the one person that was trying to not extend Roger Goodell's contract. So attorney's fees, all that piled up all into one, $2 million. I'm like, $2 million? That's a lot
that's
of
a
money.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot. Man, I want to know who those attorneys are because, man, they getting paid.
I need to get adopted.
It's something because, and it's like, this is kind of when this story came down the pipe was around this, I think it was the same day that Michael Bennett got traded and Jarvis Landry, you know, got picked up by the Browns. It's just like Cowboys and the owner is dealing with something that doesn't directly have anything to do with football. Because it's not like $2 million or nothing. I mean, he can pick that out of his back pocket and give it out. But that's not the issue. It's the fact that he's having to, or the leader of the franchise is having to be concentrated on taking care of something else and isn't able to be involved in football personnel decisions like he always is supposed to be and likes to be doing. So it's like there's always some kind of distraction. And this whole $2 million thing, man, I'm kind of like, you know, why is the NFL so adamant that they go after Jerry Jones to make him pay this money?
Well, they said it was the owners that wanted to go after him to basically just teach Jerry Jones a lesson. I guess to kind of humble him, let him know, hey, you're not running things like you think you are.
As you know, when this thing came out, man, my conspiracy theorist part of my brain, you know, had a little bing, and I was like, I'm going to go on Sportsbook and see what the odds are for the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl next year. And I'm just like, this smells of something else. I was like, this might be, I don't know, man. My conspiracy theorist thing just went, I was like, this is like a setup. This is something that's going to allow, because now they came out with the, oh, Dez's catch was a catch. And, you know, it's like, you know, let's suspend Zeke and let's do all this. But then the NFL is always going to be better when the Cowboys are doing good. I mean, that's just how it is.
Because when we do bad, the ratings are still good for the Cowboy game.
Exactly.
Because everybody wants to see us fail. And when we're succeeding,
right.
Everybody's,
I mean,
yeah.
Just like in the NBA, it's better for the NBA if the Lakers are good, the Knicks are good, the Bulls are good. You know, it's just the same kind of, you know, situation. And I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. But, you know, if they don't end up making some moves like you as a Cowboys fan and many Cowboys fans are feeling like they will and should to improve the team to try to especially compete in the NFC East, that's definitely not going to be even more difficult now to try to win. So it's almost like, well, you know, we're trying to get that wild card spot. I mean, that's what you're really playing for at this point. You know what I mean? Because – so, I don't know. What do you think about Jerry Jones's, you know, whole deal with $1 million, $2 million?
Hopefully this makes him focus on the team and not all the outside factors, because while he's dealing with this, we're losing out on top free agents, because I guess we're going to try to build our team through the draft. But we already had a 23-year drought. It's time for us to be back on top. There's no reason why the Philadelphia Eagles should have a better team than we do. That's just unacceptable. As an owner, as a fan, it just pisses me off. Can't you see?
Oh, I see. I was just about to say, I was like, I see, if only the audience could see the redness in your eyes right now.
It's just ridiculous that week after week, the Cowboys, we could be on the high, and we all as Cowboys fans now are waiting, okay, when is it going to happen? When are we going to fall flat on our face? And the reason why we fall flat on our face is because our owner and our coaching staff. It's not necessarily the players, even though we got some players that can't catch. But that's a whole different story. So next on Sports Life Talk, we're going to give you a ringworm. I know it doesn't sound too good, but just come back and check out our wrestling segment next on Sports Life Talk. All right, Serge, tonight on pay-per-view, we got the WWE Fast Lane, and we're going to just go over some matches and give our predictions. So the first one we're going to talk about is Becky Lynch and Naomi versus Natalya and Carmelo.
I'm going to have to go with any team that got Becky Lynch. I mean, she's a good wrestler.
Yeah, she is. Naomi's good, too. She's very athletic. I just think this match is a waste of their talent.
Yeah, it is.
It should be something that's going on. They need a tag team division. And
oh, they do, for sure.
They really do. All right, let's talk about Charlotte versus Ruby Riott.
I'm always going to pick Mr. Flair's daughter, man. I'm gonna have to always go with Charlotte because she's one of the best. But I also know they're probably trying to give some, a little bit of light and shine on Ruby. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm going with Charlotte too. It's another match. It seems like it's a waste, and yeah. I don't see how this is gonna be a build up towards WrestleMania. I'd rather see Charlotte and Becky Lynch start, going at it now. We got Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton.
I'm gonna go with Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode is, he's kind of like a next Randy Orton. He was already wrestling obviously before, I think with TNA and stuff like that. But
yeah,
he's one of those guys. He's just got that charisma, the character to kind of ride it out. His personality, the name, obviously kind of just fits like everything that goes. And I think he's somebody that they could definitely build around and keep around as one of the top tier talents, especially on, SmackDown.
Yeah, I think it's time for Randy Orton to move back to Raw. I don't think his talents are being used right on SmackDown.
Absolutely, I agree.
And I'm with you. I'm going with Bobby Roode. I think it's going to be glorious.
Oh,
yeah, you see how I did that there?
Okay.
All right, so we got Rusev versus Shinsuke. Who do you got?
I got Shinsuke. Shinsuke is on a roll. I think the fact that he's got a WrestleMania match, I don't see him.
Yeah, he can't lose.
He can't. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't see him like losing and then like, oh, all of a sudden he's going to WrestleMania and win now. There might be some potential interference or something like that, but Rusev is back on his game. I mean, he's one of the more talented. Especially his size and stuff, man. He's a talented wrestler.
Yeah, yeah. Rusev, he needs more time.
He does.
We got Rusev Day. Maybe today, maybe his day.
Yeah, right.
All right. So now we got New Day versus Usos, like part 17.
Probably. I'm gonna go with the Usos just so that if the Usos win, they've been kind of had the title. Just kind of like let this whole New Day Usos thing kind of just fade out. Like let the Usos just have it. New Day. Probably, whether at WrestleMania or right after WrestleMania, I could see also the New Day probably breaking up because it's kind of like ran its course. Anything that they do isn't as funny as, even if it's corny, it's just not, it doesn't just grab the same attention or the same appeal. And you can only do so many things in, so many different times and in various different ways.
Yeah,
so I'm going to go with the Usos for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's not like they're the Four Horsemen,
Yeah.
They don't have that kind of standard, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So we got John Cena versus AJ Styles.
Versus Baron Corbin. It's always going to come down to those two, even though Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens, and Dolph Ziggler are all in the match. But, I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a controversial ending. I see that... John Cena supposedly looking like he's about to win, but then AJ Styles ends up winning it. But because of how close it was, somehow way or another, they figure out a way to put John Cena in the WrestleMania match.
Yeah, I just hope AJ Styles win. I like John Cena. He's a really good guy. He's done a lot for wrestling, but he's not Ric Flair. He hadn't done it as much as Ric Flair has done to sports entertainment. So I do not want to see him break Ric Flair's record at all.
Right.
All right, so let's move on to one of the matches that we know about at WrestleMania. We got Triple H versus Stephanie. Triple H and Stephanie versus Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey. How do you think that's going to go?
I think it'll be great. I think it'll be entertaining. It's always going to be good to see Triple H and Kurt Angle wrestle. I mean, that's just, one of two of the top greats of all time. But then to also, Stephanie to put herself out there, still being one of the owners of the company, but put yourself in the match, and go against Ronda Rousey so they can elevate Ronda Rousey's status, going into post WrestleMania, and building up her character, building up the name as a wrestler, not just a UFC fighter that's coming over. I think it'll be great. I'm really obviously looking forward to seeing her in-ring talent. What they've been working on with her the last few months, in their practice facility and stuff like that. So it'll be good to see. So I'm excited about seeing, I want to know what Ronda Rousey's, two or three main moves are. I want to figure out what her finishing move is and you know, what she's going to call it and all that stuff. So, you know, they might not give it all away right away, but it's like, you know, we want it. It's a building thing, right? So
yeah.
It's like she's going to be one of the I would see myself thinking she's going to be one of the co-headliners for 2019 WrestleMania. So how can we get from this WrestleMania to next year, and what is that build up to where she'll probably, I'm sure, end up fighting Charlotte Flair, you know?
Cause that, I think that's the match that they wanted.
Right, Charlotte Flair. But I think, and I think it's better off to build it, you know, probably closer to around, Survivor Series, going into Royal Rumble. You know, maybe they put her in the Rumble match, she wins the Rumble match, and she gets a shot at WrestleMania next year, and then she wins. And I think I could see the buildup going in that direction so that, you know, on the grandest stage of them all, right? So.
Yeah. See, I just thought of something. You remember when it was The Rock and Ronda Rousey at the WrestleMania? See, I'm thinking, and they've been wanting Triple H to fight The Rock. Why not have them somehow take Kurt Angle out? Oh, now Ronda Rousey doesn't have an opponent.
Right.
And all you hear is, if you smell the Rock is cooking, he comes out. That way you can build that rivalry for the next WrestleMania, and you can have Triple H versus The Rock. And then somehow Ronda Rousey goes her separate way, because she's, Stephanie won't be an opponent for her.
Yeah.
Then you have the Charlotte Flair.
Right. Yeah. I think The Rock is not, trust me, I guarantee you, Vince McMahon is always trying to figure out ways to get The Rock in wrestling. But dude just got too much on his plate, man. I mean, he's got...
I mean, it wouldn't have to be a long segment, just...
No, I get it. I think and The Rock is the type of person, if you've noticed, like, anytime he puts, you know, if he goes in,
he's all in all the way. You're right.
And he doesn't want to, like... One thing he'll ever do, he doesn't want to cheat the fans. And he doesn't want to, like, give you a tease and then just, like, be away, because then it also loses the build-up, too, right? Because now it's like... True wrestling fans or true fans of The Rock, like, if you tease them like that, they're just gonna start, you know, feeling like, man, you're just all Hollywood on this. Like, you come in when you please, and you know you fight when you please. And I mean, that's just the way the land of the law works. But I mean, hey, Brock Lesnar can be a champion who wrestles only basically on pay per views as well.
Yeah, I'm tired of that too.
Yeah, that's annoying. And I hope. I mean, I guess. What's going to happen is he's probably going to lose the title too, and
go back to UFC and stay there. They don't need the part-time champions anymore.
And hopefully not fail a drug test.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of being tired, I'm tired of the WWE holding their young talent down, because they have the talent that could bring forth another attitude era. Why do you think the WWE continues to be censored?
I think we do have to take into consideration the day and age we live in, and not going a little over the top, because anything can be misconstrued. Anything that they say, the way they, you know, flash their parts, and, you know, just shaking different things and talking, you know, in a derogatory manner, and all these things, like, you know, they constantly probably get feedback from USA and the FCC and things like that. That's one part of it. The other part of it is, like, it's almost getting to a point where they got too much talent.
Yes.
It's almost like their talent pool is too big. Like, it's almost like they need a third show. That might only maybe be 2 hours. It doesn't need to be 3 hours. But it's like the women's division. Like, there's just too many women in the talent pool. But it's just like, you can't give them all matches. Like, one reason why you said the tag team championship for the women's need to be in there, so that basically four women can always go at it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then if there's another team, that's six women that are going against each other. And then in the singles division, you can have obviously two people always butting heads, but then two kind of outsiders who are also trying to come in that mix. So that way you get the 8 or 10 people that you have and go more bang for your buck.
Because you could have a women's champion, you could have a women's intercontinental champion, and a U.S. title. You have enough women, and you have the women in next. So. And then,
but I just don't know where they would find the adequate time between all the shows to build up their character and build up the championship and give good quality matches without making it short and cut it. Because it's like, you know, with the men and the personality that they have, they got to give quality matches of 10, 15 minutes and 20 minutes with breaks and stuff like that. You know, and then they have to do segments where the Triple H comes out or Stephanie comes out or Kurt Angle comes out. So it's like there's not enough really enough time in a 3-hour show on Raw or a 2-hour show on SmackDown to get all of this into.
Well, you said something key right there. Triple H, Stephanie, and Kurt Angle. We don't need y'all talking all the time.
No, I agree.
You mean to tell me we have a 3-hour show and we can't give women a decent match? You can. They can do better. And they also, they're talking to Fox right now get a, you know, Fox want them on the network.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. But the Attitude Era, man, that was just awesome. Everybody could get it then. It didn't matter if you were later, you were getting stunned.
Yeah.
And I understand that, the sensitivity to it.
Yeah.
But that's why you have the discussion. This isn't real. Real that you can get hurt.
Yeah, but it's like, what's your audience? All the people like in our age group, but we understand what it is. We're entertained. But kids are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15.
And that's why we censor what our kids watch. We have to know what they're watching. I totally get everything that you're saying. But when I was a kid, the one thing that my sperm donor did give me was wrestling.
Yeah.
He didn't have, you look at this. You can tell. Of course, I thought it was real back then.
Yeah.
But I never wanted to go out there and just see somebody and just hit them in the stomach and hit them in the stomach.
There's some crazy people out there that used to do that.
That is true. Everybody's not as smart as I am, Serge. I'm with you on that. All right. Hey, that was episode 11 of Sports Life Talk. We want to thank the Roberts Media Group and Blog Talk Radio for giving us this platform to speak to you. And Serge, can you give them social media handles again?
Yes. Follow us Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Sports Life Talk, and our email address for any questions, comments, or anything like that, reviews, sportslifetalk@gmail.com.
And you can find us on iTunes, too. So we're going to do a better at promoting all this stuff, too. So we can get out there, we can reach out to you, because we want your questions, we want your feedback, we need your feedback.
Yeah.
Until next time, have a good one. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. Yeah.